Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
This week marks 7 months. 7 months of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And back in April, we spoke to Ukrainian men, Max and Stan. I don't know if you remember. They were living and working here in Ireland, but they got on a plane. They headed back over there to fight when the conflict started. I'm happy to say that Stan is on the line now. He's back in Ireland. Good morning, Stan.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hello. Stan, can you just take us back and remind us why you decided to go to Ukraine and fight?
Well, it's obviously, as you already mentioned, either myself or all the guys, we've been born in Ukraine. We've been still feeling as part of Ukrainian community. And obviously, we decided it's our order, you know, and the honor to back to go to Ukraine and fight with that invasion, Russian invasion. So that was the major reason why we go there, you know.
Sure. Are you okay to speak about what you did and you saw over there just for a second?
Yes, I am.
So what was your life like fighting in Ukraine?
To be honest, I still, after whatever, 6 months or 7 months passed, I still couldn't find the words even to describe how that feeling was, what exactly we've been involved there, what we see it. Because the shock started straight away when we crossed the Ukrainian border, Polish-Ukrainian border this time. You know, when we see all those refugees, they flee to the Polish border and cross the border, and this is the where you see the first things you think is some sort of apocalypse. Never see it and never think I would expect it to see it in my life, and this is. That's your mood and your life perception has been changed since, you know. And then when we arrived in Kyiv, we will try to, we join it, obviously, the army units. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so since that, and only the first things we all would like to do is go as quick as possible in front line and fight with the Russians to stop as quick as possible that invasion happen. And
Stan, can you just describe what is it like fighting on the front line?
I think it's okay. I would split it in three stages. You know, the overall the situation there. You know, first stage when you get in the order that you have to liberate a certain area, village. It's usually it's 12 hours before it happens. So then you have to. Thinking about it, you know, live with that, you know, think about it and get you ready for that. So it's probably toughest moment in that particular situation. The second stage, when actually fight has happened, then in that period, your mind, I don't think your mind is controlling your body.
You must be driven by adrenaline.
Driven by adrenaline, and it's the, like, I think they, you know, time to think of something, you know, about it. You're just running, you're just fighting, and it's all about your body, how's the reflect, what's the body's doing. And then third stage, it's about, like, when everything is finished and you're sitting after the village is liberated and you think that was some battle, and there was a chance, 50-50, you will either die there, or you will win, you know. And especially when we see our comrades, some of them get injured, some of them been casualties on the battlefield. So that's the toughest stage as well.
It's crazy to think of what you've just been through. What was it like for you and other Ukrainian soldiers when you captured Russian soldiers? How did you feel? Were you angry? What kind of emotions did you have?
It was angry just on the time, and everyone is want to ask them questions. Why you are here?
Why?
What's this dream? And why? What's the reason dreaming that you come over here? You know, everyone wants to have a chat with them. You know, and then once those questions been showed out, then after whatever 15-20 minutes, everyone is see it, the eyes scared people, you know, they don't know what to do, they don't know what to say, and you know, you kind of feel, and you feel that sorry for them, you know, in certain way, you know, as the human, you know, as the human feel for the human. If the, in a human is the best situation, everyone is tend to be, you know, accept them, accepting their, that was, it's not a good situation for them to be answered the question. And then, but they still, you know, depends obviously on the ranking, on the ranking on the army. Some of them keep saying they are, don't know what they do, they don't know how to they being on Ukrainian area territory. Bush. In certain way, you feel sorry for them in terms just in terms that as human to understand a human, and especially when you've been told by locals and certain some of those captured soldiers. I wasn't as bad as other ones, you know. They didn't do anything bad for the locals, you know. So
a lot of them don't know why they're there, and that's a scary thought as well. You made the decision to come home. Was that come back to Ireland? Was that a difficult decision to make?
It was a difficult decision made, but it's there is certain. Certain things happening at the same time, which influencing on the decision to come back to the island. Especially, we've been complete the trainings near the Kyiv with the NATO instructors, and then was the final kind of interview with the command unit, and they said, "Look, moving forward, the war is going to take it not a 6 months or 8-9 months. It's going to be take it a years, and if he wants to move the forward, obviously we're looking for the people who will sign a long last contract, and maybe the younger people rather than, you know, rather than you're the 50 years old. So we, they all thank you us for being there for defend the capital and areas around it, but in moving forward, they say we'll be looking at professional, you know, professional army, professional soldiers. So and they think that's the time for us to come back to Ireland.
Come back to Ireland and see your family. How's it been since you've been home?
It's the nice feeling, you know. It's a nice feeling to be back home and to see family and friends. But sometimes that warm memory it's coming back, you know. It's coming back, and you're thinking, especially when we're hearing some sad news, there is some of our comrades who we know really well, who we've been together in the same unit and fighting on the same battlefield, been dying now on the east or south of Ukraine. You know, the mind, you kind of 50-50 on decision-making again. Should they stay here or should they back in there again? Bush, at the moment, probably the decision to stay in Ireland is the main one rather than go in Ukraine. And especially we try to, we will help in our lads who is there, you know, with any request about ammunition, you know, or different things. So we're looking for them in Ireland or anywhere else. And, you know, the purchase for them, you know, I keep supplying them ammunition, walkie-talkies, whatever they needed there.
So you're still very much involved on a humanitarian level as well. Stan, did you think that this war would be going on as long as it has been?
I think it's the it slowly turned in a favor of Ukrainian army, especially with the Western world is getting more open and supply the different level of weapons for Ukraine to defend it, which help to even make certain assaults and everything else, you know, and liberate a huge area near Kharkiv and everything else. So
Ukraine making progress, but as your commander said, you know, they foresee this war going on 3-5 years into the future. That's quite scary when you think about it, right?
It is quite scary, and they are kind of saying the reason for it, because there is the Russia is a big country, obviously. There is plenty resources there, you know, to continue war for ages, you know. And they're not going to accept that they are losers in this war unless it's fundamental changes happen on Russian territory. Maybe the country is split in different small little countries, you know, and that would be the different story on that. But considering the resources Russia has it, so they will continue that war for a long time.
How does it feel to be here?
It's great, you know. It's quite a nice country, and I feeling a lot more appreciate what I have in Ireland, you know.
Sure. And do you speak to Max and the lads over in Ukraine?
We do speak with them regularly, or chatting through the social media with them. So the Ukrainians comrades, they are on the south of Ukraine. Then they're not really much on the front line.
Okay.
They are kind of staying a bit behind.
So they're safe.
Yeah, in the safe, certain ways, the certain way it's the safe area. But then if they need some sort of like, intelligent penetration to their Russia control area, that's what they do in it. So they probably, there is no connection with them for a few days before they come back to the safe area.
But at the moment,
they are kind of more or less safe. Considering the lads, our lads who we know on the east area, you know, Ukraine, where it's the battles ongoing for 24 hours.
Well, San, it's great that you're safe and sound and you're back in Ireland. I'm sure your family are absolutely thrilled to have you safe and alive and well. Thanks so much for coming on and speaking with us this morning.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to mention before you go? Is there any humanitarian organization or anywhere if people are listening want to donate?
Yeah, so for everyone who listens to us, everyone knows that there is several charities set up by Ukrainians in Ireland, and we constantly looking for any humanitarian help. And I can only say a big thank you and appreciate all the help be done so far. But if everyone want to help, there is the details on Ukrainian and Ireland website, and you can contact directly the people who is running these charities. And whatever help is possible will be appreciated, especially because we now head into the cold period of the year.
The winter, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I know you worked in cybersecurity when you're here and unfortunately lost your job in Ireland. If anybody out there has a job for Stan, you haven't mentioned yourself, you can get in touch with us and we'll put you in touch with Stan.
Yeah. let's
mention that as well. Stan, you're an absolute legend. Thank you so much for coming on the show. That was Stan, who left his life here in Ireland back in February, I think it was, returned to Ukraine to fight in the war against Russia, and now is back after months of fighting and is still helping the humanitarian crisis, doing what he can. He's also out of a job because he lost his job in PayPal, I think it was. If anybody's out there and needs anybody to work in cybersecurity, or anybody has any ideas, you can get in touch with the show. You can also email me, jen@orty.ie. Thanks, Stan. We'll be back right after.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.